Hello, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 9 of More Than Sweat. I'm your host, Brooke Benton, and today's episode is titled, This Model Explains the Brain and Behavior of Healthy Habits, Simply. So there's a model that's called the Trans-Theoretical Model Stages of Change, and this model was developed by Dr. James Prochaska at the University of Rhode Island, Carlos De Clemente, and other colleagues in 1977. Since then, it has been the platinum standard that psychiatrists and psychologists use to help human beings develop healthy behaviors and provide strategies and processes to guide growth. So let's dive right into what the different stages are within the trans-theoretical model, what the behaviors are that go with each of these stages, and what happens when you relapse. That's right, we are going to touch on what happens when you relapse because it's part of life. And before we really get deep down and dirty with all this, I want to talk about what you've probably heard, that a habit is developed over 21 days. And it is baloney. Habits are hugely impacted by how much resistance you have to do the thing and the ease of doing the thing. If there's a great bit of resistance, a great bit of I don't want to, which is usually the case with doing things that are going to be advantageous for your health, like eating healthy food from the earth or exercising, all these things that are really, really good for you, sometimes your body has quite a bit of resistance with. So it might take more than the proverbial 21 days to establish a habit with that. Whereas unhealthy habits like eating junk food or consuming sugar or drinking alcohol, these things that instantly give your brain a reward and you're like, that was really good. I should have more of that. It's easy to establish habits of doing the bad stuff, which is why bad habits, detrimental habits to your health are easy to get into and then hard to get out of. But it takes much less than 21 days to get into habits of consuming too much sugar or eating too much bad food, as anybody knows who's been on a cruise. If you go on a 7-day cruise and you're just letting the good times roll at the buffet and eating 4 different desserts at night, then when you get back home, it's going to be real difficult to curtail that and go back the other direction, get back to eating how you were before or even healthier because you realized you put on weight during that cruise. You're going to find that you want to keep doing what you were doing that you set up over the 7 days on a cruise. And it's very difficult to break that. If you've been on a cruise, you're like, sister, you get it. You know what I'm talking about. So all this to say, sometimes it takes a lot more than 21 days to develop a habit. Sometimes it develops pretty quickly and it becomes almost a mindless thing. Trans-theoretical model stages of change. First are pre-contemplation, then contemplation, preparation, action, maintenance, then on occasion, relapse. Relapse doesn't always happen, but when relapse happens, you go right back to the tippity top because a lot of times you don't realize you've relapsed and you're back in pre-contemplation again. So pre-contemplation is when in your brain, you don't even recognize that you have a problem. So this would be the guy in his pickup truck that's smoking a cigarette, eating a Twinkie, and he's probably going to get his lunch from 7-Eleven. This guy isn't thinking about, oh, these behaviors are probably going to cause preventable chronic conditions. My life's going to be shorter than it has to be. I am going to be hooked up to all of these medical things. I'm going to have medical bills out the wazoo. They're not thinking about all of that. They're not thinking about how they're going to suffer because of the actions they're doing right now. So it's out of mind. There is no plan to change because there is no realization that they have a reason to change or a problem. The next would be contemplation. And that's like where your brain is starting to think, hey, maybe there's something here that's not serving me. So in contemplation, you're aware that you might have a problem, not making any changes yet, but this behavior and the brain are kind of coming together and realizing, hey, we got maybe a little something we need to be aware of here. In preparation, you are keenly aware that something is wrong and you want to take action. You're just not ready to jump right into it. You're a planner. Everybody's a planner. So in preparation, you're getting ready to make a change. You're not doing anything to go there yet. Maybe you're reading books, but you're preparing yourself. So this happens a lot of times beginning of January when people are aware that they've put on weight. And so they decide, I'm going to buy a bunch of healthy food. I know it because come January 1, I go shopping for cabbage and for Brussels sprouts and all of this healthy food that I buy often. And it's cleared right off of the shelves because all of these January people have loaded up on their vegetables and believe that they're preparing to make a change. They're buying the groceries. They're not eating them yet, but they sure do buy the Costco shelves right out of all their healthy vegetables. So that is preparation. That is where in the brain you are preparing and planning for an action to happen. The action may not happen. It may stop right there, but following the stages of change, you had bought all that food in order to take action and make a change. So the action step is actually doing the thing. There can be such a muck between preparation and action because you have all the stuff, but you don't know what plan to follow. That's where I'm going to come in. That's where I am going to help you as an exercise physiologist, a personal trainer, as a life coach. I thrive in action. I can help you with the action stage. You're doing the thing there. And then after action comes maintenance. That is when the habit has been established and it's just what you do. It's just how you live and things are good. Maintenance is the stage we are all aspiring to get to. You have to go through all of that other stuff to eventually hit maintenance, and then you just keep going. You just keep doing what you've established. That habit's there, but lo and behold, here's a good example. Letting loose while you're on vacation, cruise, whatever the thing is, and that's when you relapse. So it's not just an isolated, I'm going to not eat real clean for a couple days and then I'm going back to how it used to be. That isn't what typically happens. And that's why I tell clients not to do cheat meals or cheat days, because it's never an isolated cheat meal or a cheat day. It ends up being a cheat week or cheat lifestyle, a cheat everything. You no longer have a plan because you're just, and even calling it cheating is sort of vilifying food that, truth be told, none of us need to be consuming more than 30 grams of sugar a day. It's hard to keep it to just 30 grams of sugar a day, but you're going to be healthiest if you do. If you do try to limit sugar drastically outside of fruit that contains fiber, which is the counterpart to why fruit isn't the dirty dog like other sugars are, because of the fiber component. You take away the fiber, you take away what's good about fruit, what's healthy about fruit. So relapsing, I think I got off there on a tangent on sugar because it's something that is so easy to take you down a downward spiral, but you relapse. Let's say you went on the vacation and you were eating bad, or you had a cheat meal that led to a cheat day that led to a cheat week, and then it totally wrecked what you had been maintaining. And so you find yourself back in pre-contemplation. You get off the cruise, you're continuing to maybe you pour yourself a Chardonnay at 8 o'clock in the morning because that's what you did when you were on a cruise, or you have chocolate souffle and ice cream and whipped topping on top because that's what you had on your cruise, and that's when you start eating every night as your dessert, and you start making these poor decisions, but you're not realizing all that it's doing to wreck everything that you had set up. So you're back in pre-contemplation, and then you check yourself. You're like, oh man, I got on the scale and I've gained some weight, and I'm definitely not eating like I was before I went on, say, vacation or whatever. And so you're in contemplation mode, and then you prepare, you take action, you're back in maintenance. So I want to get back to the action stage. Like I said, so many of us spend a lot of time preparing. Like, you know you want to make a change, you buy the healthy stuff, but there's a bunch of different programs on the internet and you just don't know where to follow. Well, like, I do want to get healthy. I've got stuff, I've got money to pay, but how do I take action? And I need it to be simple. Please don't go over my head or use jargon that makes me confused, make me weigh my food and count macros. Like, shoot straight with me. Something that I can keep going and keep doing and not have to quit my job in order to just think about food all the time. Like, nobody's going to do that. You got to work your job, and this should be in conjunction with your lifestyle. So I've developed Heavy 100, a 100-day program that helps you stack the dominoes up straight. It gets you in action for 100 days of heavy dumbbell lifting, endurance aerobic activity outside, abstaining from alcohol, vegetables for fiber, and limiting screen time, yielding screen time. And we do this for 100 days to pump you right out of action into maintenance, that this is just the way that you live. In fact, one of my friends that also went through Heavy 100 with me last year is also still alcohol free after a full year, because we set the dominoes up during Heavy 100 in the action stage. And now it's been maintenance for me, it's going to be maintenance with alcohol free the rest of my life. And I think this person intends on doing the same thing. You just start realizing that was never serving you. So these are the stages of change, but you might be real curious about, well, what about this relapse part? Like, why and when does that happen? Is it always just a vacation, or what is it that causes people to relapse? And it typically has to do with one of the three S's or a combination of the three S's. And that is stress, sleep, and social connections. I don't want you to think that stress is just the asteroid things in life, just the big things like losing a job or something, you know, grandiose. Stress can be as simple as the weather changed. You were used to the comfortable weather of spring, and then it got dog hot outside, and you're stressed over that. Stress can be little nano things that are going to change your behavior. And sleep, you've found a show that you like on Netflix or on Amazon Prime, and it gets you staying up too late, and you're still getting up at the same time every morning, but you're finding that your days are a little bit more of a struggle. Could be because your cortisol, which is stress, is a little bit elevated from not getting enough sleep, and you're starting to make poor food choices. So you're starting to make choices you wouldn't have otherwise made because of that second S, which is sleep. And then the third S is social connections. What if somebody dear to you passes away? Social connections could also be that you've had a rift with a friend and that's bothering you. And instead of approaching those feelings, you avoid those feelings by sugar, food, shopping, Chardonnay, whatever the thing is that puts you back in the pre-contemplation stage, that you've now established a bad habit without even realizing it. One of these three S's shot you from maintenance to relapse back into pre-contemplation. And eventually you're going to be like, whoa, what happened? I'm misaligned. And that gets you back to contemplation, then preparation, action. Action is so aspirational because you had to go through all of that to get to action. If you are right there right now where you've been sitting in preparation for a while, I want you to get excited because you have now what it takes. You went through pre-contemplation where you didn't realize you had a problem. You went through contemplation where you were like, maybe there's something that's not quite right here that I should address. Preparation in your head and in your heart, you're ready to do the thing. You've read the books. You've looked on the internet. You've humbled yourself to realizing I can't do this on my own because I don't know how, but I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm prepared. Put me in, coach. Action. I'm here for you on March 18th, which is just 2 weeks away. We're starting that Heavy 100 program, 100 days, March 18th through June 25th, where I will lead you every day through 10 minutes of heavy dumbbell lifting. All you need is one set of heavy dumbbells. That is the only equipment you need for this program. And then you spend 20 minutes each day just enjoying being outside and moving in nature. My favorite color is sunset, and I do plan on most of my 20-minute endurance aerobic activity outside being power walks in the sunset. It is for wellness, not just fitness. And so it doesn't have to be a hardcore cardio workout, just moving outside every day for 20 minutes. You can do that, right? You can do that. Abstaining from alcohol. So yeah, if you've been consuming a lot of alcohol, now's the time to start kind of tapering it down so that come March 18th, you're ready to go 100 days without alcohol. It's not serving you in any way. It's not making your life better. It's making it worse. Stop avoiding your feelings by just drinking alcohol. We're going to approach. We're going to approach and we're going to be 100% authentically you without drugs, without alcohol in your system. So 100 days abstaining from alcohol. V, vegetables, vegetables, vegetables. I'm going to teach you about fiber and how we incorporate vegetables in every meal and snack in order to fill you up, but get you pooping. So it fills you up. You're not going to be hungry, but your body's also going to be very fluid. It's going to be great for your GI tract. And then Y is yielding screen time. The devil's in the devices. You're spending too much time gazing at a phone, getting tech neck, and you don't feel better after spending time scrolling through social media. You feel worse. So we are going to be mindful about it for 100 days and then get into maintenance mode to where you're just not in the habit of looking at your phone first thing in the morning. It's not what you do, or last thing at night when you're trying to get ready to go to sleep, having that blue light glowing your face. We're not doing that for 100 days. We're in action mode, and that's going to set you up for maintenance. And I am so excited to be the authority that you trust to lead you through Heavy 100. It worked for me. I led this program last year, March 13th until June 20th, I believe. And you'll see my before and after pictures at brookbenton.com. And I'll also include in the show notes how you can register for Heavy 100. But all this episode, in a nutshell, trans-theoretical stages of change are pre-contemplation. That guy smoking along in his truck, eating his Twinkie, planning on lunch at 7-Eleven. He doesn't realize he has a problem. There is no readiness to change because there is no problem in his mind. Contemplation, you realize something's up. Preparation, that's those people in January that buy out all my vegetables from Costco. That's when you buy the stuff and you're looking at programs, you're reading books, but you haven't taken action yet. Action is what we start on March 18th with Heavy 100. We get the thing going. I will be running this program all online through Facebook. It's a private Facebook group. I'll be giving you all the information about recipes you can try, some nutritional guidelines, wellness tips, and then every day giving you motivation in this group. 100% virtual. You do the strength workouts whenever you can get them in, just 10 minutes a day, with Sundays being recovery. And then maintenance is when you keep going. You've done the hard work. You've made it to higher ground. You look good. You feel good. And comparatively, things are a lot easier than they were when you were trekking up the hill of action. But you don't have to trek that hilly action stage alone. I'm here to guide you and will do so over 100 days in Heavy 100. If you'll trust me to lead you through that program, I will have your hand all the way. We'll be in it together. And you can register with the link in the show notes. I've got that up right now. We start in 17 days with our first day on your 100-day journey. So get pumped, get excited, get registered. And I will walk and talk with you again next Friday on our final episode of season 2 of More Than Sweat. So long, y'all.